Dear friends and brethren, God bless you all. We are here again this morning with Brother Joseph. God bless you.
God bless you. Praise the Lord.
And Brother Joseph, I have some new questions for you this morning, which some of our friends and brethren have been sending in, because they're following our YouTube messages and new questions come up every day. Now, for those of you who are for the first time listening to this message, we would like to encourage you to watch two of our videos on YouTube, which are very important concerning the situation in the world, about the microchip, about the future events that are coming. We're approaching fast the end time. And these videos give very practical and biblical counsel about how to get out of certain areas of the world where the situation will be bad, will be the worst. One of these videos is called Need Help to Get Out of NWO USA EU. Our mission can help you. And the second video is Leaving the NWO areas, choosing a country, practical counsel. So for those of you who didn't watch those videos, we encourage you to follow them, because you will find lots of counsel which we give from our personal experience. We've been leaving countries from Europe to come to South America, because here the situation will be a little easier. So there are some specific refuge countries in the world which you can pray and ask the Lord where is His place for you in the end time. God bless you all. Brother Joseph, I want to ask you, some questions that came in lately are a lot referring to our community. People want to know better our community. They want to learn how we live by faith, how we evangelize, and they would like to ask specifically how to be part of our fellowship.
Well, God bless dear brethren that want to be part of our fellowship. We encourage that, and we feel honored and worthy, and it's a blessing. The more the merrier. However, most of our fellowship is all over the world, because the Lord has called us to help the brethren wherever they are, whether they come here or not. So we've been communicating for many years with the brethren, with not that many brethren around, because our message is pretty strong and radical, and the Laodicea churches usually don't like it. So our community, which is in different countries as well as local, is pretty restricted, because we just don't have a doctrinal book, a book of doctrines. We don't have any book of rules. We have nothing, just the Bible.
That's what I want to say. Like, why I joined this community, it's not because the message is strong and radical. It's because I like it, because it's only the Bible. It's only the Word. It's pure Word of God, without adding people's opinions or certain rules which are not in the Bible. It's very Bible-based, and that's what I love the most about this community.
Yeah, the main thing is that doctrinal book, they make Christianity become cold and rigid and formalistic and Laodicean dead, whereas the theme of the Bible, the guiding star of the Bible, the goal of the Bible is really love. God is love, and it's like certain churches, they have certain requirements. You have to pay so much money, you must do this, you must do that, otherwise they actually throw you out, and you're under curse if you don't pay the tithe and stuff. Like, we don't curse people for not giving the tithe. You just bless it if you do. So basically, it's not that you have to put the whole Bible in practice, okay?
You don't?
No, you don't have to put the whole Bible in practice. I don't, and nobody has ever been able to accept Jesus. Oh. It's like, we don't curse people for not reaching a certain standard, certain levels, because nobody can be, like, doesn't matter if you can, like, if you can give 100% to Jesus, I can only give 1% to Jesus. But as long as I put in my whole heart, that's all God requires. A guy who's crippled can glorify God better than Olympionic runner if he puts his whole heart. Like in Luke 21, Jesus said that the widow gave 2 mites, gave more than all the Pharisees put together, were giving a lot of money. Okay, so we look at the heart here. Like, we in our fellowship, it's like we have people who are strong, who are weak, who are strong spiritual, weak spiritual, who are very good witnesses, good musicians, good preachers. Others who are not. Others just good cooks. You know, they just cook. They're just good organizing the house, but they're not great witnesses. It's okay. Like, God doesn't judge by how much you give, but how much you've left. He doesn't judge by how much money you give, how much, how many souls you get saved, how much gospel you preach, how many miracles you perform, how many people get healed, even though here a lot of people are getting healed. It doesn't matter if you don't have these gifts, as long as you put your whole heart. Maybe your only gift you have is just fixing, being a handyman, fixing furniture, but you put your whole heart. Maybe you're just a great cook, but you're just a little cook. And by you put your whole heart, you're better than the greatest of the greatest evangelists who is not putting his whole heart. Do you understand?
Yes, that's very nice. And also the truth is that we need all these kind of talents around. If we all would have only one talent, how would we function? Who would cook? We need to also eat.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like not everybody can be a Paul or Peter. It's like we also need the little people who know how to cook, who know how to take care of things. We have one of the most beautiful people that we have yet, them who take care of the children. Children are the most important thing.
Well, some of these little people one day can be the greatest, you know?
Exactly.
The last can be first.
Exactly.
All right. Now, can you tell me in two words, how can somebody join our community?
Just join. Two words, just join.
That's it?
You said two words. You are welcome, okay? We really, really, not only we need brethren here, we desperately need brethren. We need missionary, we need witnesses, we need cooks, we need the people who can drive cars. As I said before, I don't need to repeat that, I just said before, as long as you put your whole heart, you are welcome to join. Our basic fellowship is all over. We have people over the world. You come from Europe. We have brethren over there who support us, sponsor, they send help voluntarily. And in America, people who help us. What we receive is not always enough because we have a lot to do here, but it's a big blessing. And some people come and visit. You know, you can stay a week, you can stay a month, you can stay a few months. We'll help you. We train you all we can. And then it's up to you if you want to join or if you want to go back. Other people don't come, but we take care of them like through email, through mail, through phone. You know, we got a phone call. People phone us. They want healing on the phone. They get healed on the phone. And people have problems with marriages or somebody wants a divorce. Children are unruly, rebellious to parents. People ask questions about homeschooling. We have six children. One is 3 years old. And we homeschool them all. And they're wonderful. We don't even vaccinate them. The Lord, I mean, they never had a sickness almost, you know. They didn't even get the typical sickness children have, you know. You know the typical sickness children have. They didn't get one. We have six children here. They're not even vaccinated because vaccination is a baloney. So anyway, things like that, we can teach you how you can do without the system and the world which brainwashes and scares you through the devil's TV and the lying politicians that if you don't vaccinate, they do better. Because God has an immune system. You need to keep your body strong. If your body is strong, you don't get sick. All right? And our children get sick, it's a matter of 24 hours. And the next day, they're healed again. You lay hands at night, put a little oil. In the name of Jesus Christ, cast out the devil, cast out the sickness, command the devil to go. All his demons and sickness, in the name of Jesus Christ. And keep praying until he feels better. And they feel better. They feel better, you understand? And, I mean, most of the sick, I mean, 90% we see the... We have about 90% of healings here. And when they are sick, it's just a matter of a day or so. Right? We, of course, we've seen big miracles. People who came out of coma, cancer, terminal cancer, getting healed. But it's Jesus. It's because if you obey the gospel, miracles happen. Amen?
Amen. I want to say, dear brethren, that we are out in the fresh air, and sometimes you might hear the birds or the wind or some cars passing by. Please have patience. We are trying to make good quality recordings, but this is actually not too bad. I hope you understand clearly this recording. Brother Joseph, I would like to share in two words how I joined this community 10 years ago, because some brethren would like to know practical steps. So about 10 years ago, when I met Brother Joseph and his family, of course, I was in the world. I was living like an atheist, and some of you brethren are already Christians. You don't have the problems I used to have. But when I started having the desire to join this fellowship, well, I had to get rid of some of my bad habits, like drinking, smoking, and some weird music. Now, these things you don't have to do, but I wasn't actually requested. It's a rule before you join.
You don't have to do. You have to first.
No, it wasn't like that. First, you just gave me Jesus and love, and it's the love that got me here. Okay. You didn't tell me you need
to. You do have to forsake this thing.
Yeah, I did have to forsake, but that came afterwards from my heart.
Right, right. Eventually, you realize you couldn't continue listening to worldly weird music.
Yes.
You know, you cannot.
But that's what I want to say, that when I started to join and to be part of it, I wasn't faced with a bunch of rules, with a bunch of papers to sign, you need to do this,
except
you need to do this.
Bible.
Except the Bible. I had to start reading the Bible and get to know the Bible, be familiar with the Bible, and I was receiving training on how to evangelize.
Yes.
I was living out, but seeing you daily and being trained as a missionary. And the desire to forsake all my worldly problems came from my heart slowly, slowly. It took a few days, maybe a few weeks, but I grew. Now, that's what I want to say.
People decide to join a different level. Is that everybody joins to the level that they want to evangelize every day like we do. People can come and visit once a week. They can come and visit once a month. They can never come. They just want to stay where they are. People decide their own level. We don't decide.
That was the purpose of me living out for many months so I can make my decisions. I had to see how you live, how you function, who you are. And in the period of a few months, I had clear ideas. Do I want to work with you? How much do I want to be involved?
Yeah,
it was all on me to decide.
It takes a while. It's not that in 10 minutes one can make a decision. It's like a marriage. You know, you first need to know the guy or the girl and say, wait a second, is she a Christian? Is she, you know, this and that. And then you marry. So it's kind of when you join the work, it can take some time until God speaks to you. God doesn't. We always tell people, if God doesn't speak to you, don't even think about joining. God has to tell you.
Good. So now I want to go to the next question. Some brethren asking concerning this community and joining our specific community, is there anything they need to pay? Because they are used to most of the churches to become a member, you need to tithe. And you need,
who's asking this? People who are traveling here or
people
are just in general?
Yeah, these are brethren who would like to join our community or who want to join.
Not just the ones who want to come, even just also other people, right?
Yes, people who want to travel. They want to know if it's like the normal churches that we request that they need to pay the tithe to us.
Jesus.
Because some churches, if you don't pay the tithe, they really condemn you and they put you on the curse and they give you Bible scriptures.
Yeah,
so how is it with us?
Yeah, I know the story. Please don't. My goodness. Yeah, they curse them with the name of Malachi chapter 3. It says you're cursed with a curse because you don't pay the tithe. But that's the law of the Old Testament. Like, that's ridiculous to curse. So sad that some of these Laodicea churches, this prosperity preacher, if you don't pay the tithe to God, in quotes, which means in their pocket, of course, you're under curse because Malachi says you're cursed if you don't pay the tithe. But that was a curse of the law. You were cursed if you disobeyed your father. You were cursed if you told a lie, and now you can just repent, okay? You were cursed if you didn't dress up in a certain way. You were cursed on the Sabbath if you walked a few extra meters. I mean, in the Ten Commandments, there are 9 under death penalty. See, these false preachers who put the brethren under curse if they don't pay the tithe, they themselves are under curse. Because it says in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, it says, whatever you reap, you shall sow. You know, if you sow to the flesh, you shall reap corruption. If you sow for the spirit, you shall reap everlasting life. What else? Genesis 12:3. I will bless and bless you, curse and curse you. This prosperity preacher who curse the brethren who don't give them money in the name of God, of course, they are under curse. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. In reality, the tithe today is voluntary. It's like if you give it, you're blessed. If you don't give it, you're not cursed. Uncursed if you don't give, blessed if you give. You understand? Uncursed. You're not cursed if you don't give, but you're not blessed either. You just say no curse. You can start tomorrow. Then you didn't get any curse. Understand? Tomorrow you can change your mind. The tithe is to go for preach the gospel. If you give it, you're blessed. I mean, that's how we function here. You know, we function because people send the tithes or regular donations.
That's why the Lord, I mean, Jesus, that's how he was living. Because it says Judas was keeping the money back, so that means they were collecting donations.
Yeah, it's like, look, let me give you a scripture. Because people don't know the Bible. They're going to say, Brother Joseph is crazy because Malachi did say you're cursed. Yes, dear brethren, beloved. Of course he said you're cursed. If you are in the Old Testament, you know. But let me explain to you. You, anybody who doesn't give the tithe to the churches where you are, or you don't give it to me, you are not cursed. It seems like against my interest, but that's the truth. All right?
But sorry, do you lose blessings if you don't pay the tithe?
Well, yeah, you lose blessings.
That's not like a curse?
No, absolutely not. No, of course not. You can repent tomorrow and start paying the tithe, but you don't have to pay the tithe. You can pay more, you can pay less, whatever you can. But the less you give, the less you're blessed. The more you give, the more you're blessed. That's what the Bible says. I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
In Galatians chapter 3, for example, first of all, let me give you the scripture for the brethren who don't know, because it's easy for these prosperity preachers cursing the brethren because the brethren don't know the Bible much. Okay, the only Bible they know is what they are preaching. You need to know the Bible for yourself, for God's sake. Look. There are many, many places in the New Testament where it says that we are not under curse anymore. Well, let me just give you one. For example, Galatians chapter 3, for example. It says, verse 12, the law is not of faith. Oh, look, this is a slap in the face already. The law of Moses is not of faith in Christ. So you follow the law, you're not walking by faith in Christ. Your faith is in Moses, in his law, not in Christ, in his love, in his forgiveness, and his freedom. Okay, then, next, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You understand? You're not under the law, under the curse of Malachi or Moses anymore, because Christ has redeemed us. So does that mean that now I can live selfishly, give nothing to everybody, just grow like a big fat cancer? No, it doesn't mean that. Look, for example, can you read some scripture to me, please?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, look, 1 Corinthians 9.
Yes.
Look, 9:11 and 15. Look, why did you help me with some scriptures? You found it?
1 Corinthians 9.
1 Corinthians 9 and 15.
11 and 15.
Yeah.
If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? 15. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be done so unto me. For it were better for me to die, and that any man should make my glorying void.
18.
What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel.
You understand, the gospel should be preached without charge. It's free. Okay, so when Paul was pioneering a church, pioneering, he says here, when I preach the gospel to you, I did it for free. He was pioneering Corinth. He didn't go there passing the basket the first day like some of these false prophets do. He did it for free. He worked with his own hands. But then when the brethren grew up, and they grew and grew, then he said, okay, you guys, we sowed unto your spiritual thing. Do you mind to share a little? I share my life, I dedicated my life to give you the salvation of Jesus. Can you please help give us some food, some bread, a little money for transportations?
Right.
Look, repeat again verse 11.
Verse 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things?
Understand? We give you spiritual, we give you Christ, we give you eternal salvation. Can you share us your food, your money, whatever we need? Understand?
Can I read 14? I like 14.
Yeah.
Even so has the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel.
Yeah, of course. I've been 40 years preaching the gospel here, okay? 40 years, my wife is on missionaries. My wife, you're a missionary, we're a group. And we have 6 children. How are we supposed to live? How are we supposed to live? Of course you're supposed to, if we sow spiritually, we have to reap material. I cannot go rob. What am I supposed to do? If I go work 10 hours as a salesman selling whatever cars, how am I going to take care of all the sheep? So if I sow spiritually, I must reap materially. That's just normal. Look, look. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 9.
Yes.
Start to 6 and 7.
2 Corinthians 9:6 and 7. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver.
You see the difference? It doesn't say if you don't give, you're cursed, like these false prophets, these wolves, false prophet and true wolves. You're not cursed, only you're not blessed, but that's logical. You reap what you sow. Look, 1 Corinthians 16. Now go back to 1 Corinthians.
Yes.
16, 1 and 2. They were collecting donation every week, okay, but voluntarily, like you said, according to his heart. You know, if your heart is always selfish, well, you receive nothing. You'll be, you know, when you're selfish, you know, the devil comes in and destroys your marriage, destroys your life, destroys your finances. But there are selfish people that are rich, surely, but with the blessing of the devil, though. Like the devil said to Jesus, if you worship me, in Luke chapter 4, 6 and 7, say, if you worship me, I'll give you all these things. Of course the devil can give you more than God in this world, materially. Okay? There are people that are singers that dedicate their souls to the devil, they become popular. Yes, there is also a blessing of the devil, but be careful. Salary of sin is death. Okay, yeah, there are people who are selfish, they're more rich, definitely. Read Psalm 49. That's what he said. They're more selfish they are, the more rich they are. Okay, but there is also blessing of God, which usually is less than the devil blessing in this world when it comes to money. God gives me what I need. I tell you, being 40 years, I never lacked a ticket for a plane. I never lacked a rent for a house. I never lacked nothing. My children don't have much. They don't have extravagances, but they all have shoes. They all have good clothes. We all look like tourists. And we live months by the tithe that we receive, the regular donation people, the sweet, unselfish brethren send us. Can you read it? 1 Corinthians 16:1-2.
1 Corinthians 16:1-2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come.
Okay, so the best way to set aside every week, we set aside our tithe, because we also set our tithe aside every day. So it doesn't cost us anything, because if we receive no donations, we set nothing aside. Mm-hmm. If we set aside, $1, it's because we receive 10. If we set aside $10, we receive 100. You understand? So, but if you do every day, it doesn't hurt. But if you wait at the end of the year, I have to give God $100,000. Oh, I can't. You'll be spending it day by day. You spent your blessings. The first person you have to pay is God. Okay? God is the first one you have to pay. Look, the system is asking 30, 40%. Where I come from, Italy, the taxes, I work in a factory, pays about 50% taxes on his salary. In other words, he works 6 months, a year, for the government. Okay, so they're paying the devil 50% of the salary, but they don't pay God 10%. And that's what it works. Because you don't give God this 10%, God, the devil takes 50%. That is not a curse from God. It's an oppression of the devil. You understand?
Yes. All right, Brother Joseph. So then people who would like to receive our spiritual messages and people who have questions, they want to learn from our experience, they want to listen to our YouTubes, do they need to pay anything?
Like the tithe and stuff?
Yeah, the tithe or anything else.
No. No, because that would make me a false prophet too. It would make me Laodicea prosperity. No. It's totally for free as far as the message God gives me. All the prophetic teachings I send, the prophetic interpretation, the end time, everything. I mean, I make it available for free, and I've done this forever. And you can verify this. I advertise my messages, complete messages, everywhere. Yeah, we distribute tracks which I write. We distribute audio CD which I record.
Yes.
You can even go on... We're reorganizing our radio here in South America. It should be functioning any day. And so you can tune in our radio for free. And I posted every message God has given me on YouTube for free. You can download everything. If you don't want to give nothing, give nothing. God will provide to some others, some generous hearts.
All right, so people can join our fellowship without paying.
No, the fellowship is different. To join our fellowship, we expect that you help. You share of your material blessings.
Ah, you mean to join personally, to be here with us, it takes, like we do here among ourselves, we share everything. Everything we have, we share.
No, you don't have to come here. I mean, not everybody has the money for the plane. Okay. I mean, you're very, very welcome. If you come here, boy, we eat together. We're in Argentina, we make a barbecue. I mean, we'd be very happy to I tell you, it doesn't matter if we are 10, 20, 30, 40, we eat together here, we are fellowship, we give our love, understand? If you have no money for the food, we share our food with you. But to join our fellowship is like we expect that we share unto you the spiritual thing and you share with us the material things if you can.
Mm-hmm. I understand. So people who come here and they want to join us and actually work with us, they need to give the tithe. Just like you pay the tithe to somebody who's feeding you spiritually, who's helping you walk with the Lord, you need to pay your tithe there.
Yes, yes.
Whether it's us or somebody else, it's good you pay your tithe to your shepherds.
Yeah, it's like if you want to be close to us, part of our fellowship, whether you come here and you want to open a house, we'll teach you all we can. You can bring your children if you have, or if you're a single mother, single father, we'll help you. We'll give you our love of a fellowship. We'll counsel you about finding if you're looking for a cheap room, or if you want like a nice house with a garden, we'll give you the prices. We'll help you find it. We'll help you organize your visa, teach you what kind of plane to take, a charter. There are tickets. A plane ticket costs a third of the price. We have two sisters here. You're one of them, Angie. There is also
Dora.
You are very expert in counseling. Our brethren want to come here. You know everything about plane flights and everything, and give counsel how to sell things before coming. However, while I make everything available for free, it's like the brethren want to be part of the fellowship. Well, we expect them to, to share the, like the Bible says. We share everything we have with you spiritually. You should share materially, like the Bible says. It says, if we are sown unto you, 1 Corinthians 9, spiritual thing is a great thing if we collect, if you share your material things. No, to be part of the fellowship is like we should not be selfish. We should be willing. It's like you cannot go in a restaurant, eat, and then you don't pay the bill. It's like, what's the bill? A voluntary donation, a voluntary tithe. So it's like if you are in a church and you're paying the tithe to a church in America, wherever you are, but the church is sleeping and you're getting your feeding from another missionary. It could be me, it could be a guy somewhere else. I mean, there are missionaries as good as I am, teachers as good as I am, or better than me. It's like, definitely, the Lord will have to guide you to me, or to us, or to somebody else with my full blessing, please. So you cannot go, I heard a preacher say one time, you cannot go eat in a restaurant and pay in another restaurant. You cannot go in a restaurant, eat a nice barbecue, spaghetti, a bottle of lemonade, I don't know what you drink, and then go pay in another restaurant. So it's like, if you are here and if you have a man of God, wherever you are, is taking care of you 100%, don't give me your tithe, give it to him, or vice versa.
Honestly.
But if you are in a church which are kind of sleepy, just a formalism, and you get all your feeding, your guidance, whatever, from me, from our mission here, I think you should give the tithe here, not over there.
So conclusion, to give the tithe, it is blessed. Whether you come and work with us in our area, or you go to Africa, to Japan, whoever you work with, if there is somebody who's helping you spiritually, feeding you, teaching you, it's blessed to pay the tithe to that shepherd.
Definitely, yes. There's no curse if you don't give it, but there is no blessing. There is no blessing, But, you reap what you sow, so.
A question I have, because you were mentioning before something, and I want to bring it up. Can somebody join our community without coming to our area?
Yeah, but this is most of the cases are like that. Like, not everybody can catch a plane and come over here, understand? Definitely most of the brethren, they don't come. That's sad because it's very well, it's such a rejoicing when they come. If they arrive, the airport is nearby, we go pick them up at the airport. Otherwise, we make sure that they have the address of the hotel where to go and everything. We make maps, this is the hotel, the address, outside there is a bus stop, whatever, take a bus number, whatever,
yes.
Organize,
yes.
And then we meet you if we are far away, if we are close. If I'm around, other I come, well, same. Usually it's difficult for me to go, but we do all we can. But most people don't come because they just can't. Other people don't want, other people don't have the money to come, other people just don't desire. So, but they do want the fellowship, the guidance, etc. Maybe they want to go somewhere else. It's the choice if they want to come or not. And of course, when people decide to be part of the fellowship and to support the mission and everything, and we support them spiritually, of course, they have the options. Once you're part of the fellowship, even like you have the option that you are invited to visit. Like, we don't invite people to come and visit here unless they're part of our fellowship. I mean, we don't know who these guys are. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can be dangerous people, they can be Judas. We don't know these guys. But it's like we need to have a little bit interaction, a little bit heart to heart. I need to study with these people. Like, we have children here. We don't just invite everybody. We want to communicate with people. And then we pray. We ask the Lord. And so, in other words, the only way to do this is people are part of the fellowship. Understand? They don't have to come and visit, but you know, just like by reading the Bible, you know who the disciples were, right? By reading people's messages, you know the little bit of discernment which we have. So once people join the fellowship, they have the option to come and visit if they want. That's like a... And also, they can come here and rent a house. We help them to rent a house if they want to rent a house. They tell us how much they want to spend, how much they can afford. They want a little apartment, a little room. Is it a single mom? Is it a couple? They have many children. We can suggest to them, because there are all kinds of different prices. There are houses with garden, there are swimming pools. It depends how much you want to spend. That's your problem. It's like, so just tell us what you're looking for, and we will help you. If you want a house, maybe you have two families, three families, you want to come here, then we'll suggest you take a villa with a garden, and you help each other. You leave a situation, Acts 2, 44 and 45, where it says all the believers together and share the money and everything. And that's what you want to do. If you want to live independently, you, your wife and your children, that's fine. It's completely, totally your choice, understand? All right, so people who join our fellowship, they try to come, they're welcome. They cannot come, but they don't want to come. They're still blessed. God bless you. Wonderful. We'll help you. You can, through the phone, we can talk on the phone. Somebody here for sure will. And we can, if you have any problem, I mean, that's our job. If you have problem, marriage problem, children problem, curses, sicknesses, that's our job. So these people are part of our fellowship, all right? One thing we saw is that it takes time for people to decide to come down, etc. It's like usually people start being part of a fellowship and they communicate for weeks and months. After that, people begin to pray. Maybe the Lord starts speaking to them about coming or not, or what to do. You know, it takes sometime a year or 6 months for them to figure out how close they want to be. So usually the first day they begin being part of the fellowship. And then after a while, God speaks to them, they begin to grow, especially we send them a lot of feeding, because on YouTube is a little disorganized, like you don't know which is first and after. But it's like we organize seminars. Mm. When people come here, we have seminars. And they don't come, we can send it to them through email or whatever. And so there is like all the steps, one after the other. People can grow in order, first kindergarten, first grade, second grade. In YouTube, of course, that's not possible, because it's more like, one is about healing, the other is about marriage. It's kind of disconnected, of course, you know.
Yes.
So it takes time. So therefore, it's like anybody can receive all of our messages on YouTube. In other words, not everybody has to have fellowship with us. Somebody doesn't desire to fellowship with us, fine, we respect. I hope you find some good church, wherever you are. You can just get the messages on YouTube.
But if you choose to be part of our fellowship, you are welcome to write and stay close to us, stay in contact with us. You can write to us about your specific needs, your specific questions and trials and battles that you go through. And we can share with you from our experience what we learned from the Bible, what the Lord is showing us.
One thing I saw from the message we've been receiving is that one great need is that people need to know, they're kind of confused about the steps. How to sell things, how to get out of things, how to disconnect from the world, disconnect from Babylon, how to prepare to catch a plane, a counsel about where to go.
Finding jobs.
Okay, so don't be afraid to ask.
Very good, and we will make sure we will answer you back. You can write us as often as you need, as often as you desire, even daily. We're happy to be in touch with you.
Amen, amen, amen. And if you have anything urgent, you can even phone. Like somebody actually just Sometimes we get phone calls, somebody's sick, needs a healing or something. I mean, that's a blessing. So God, the Lord bless you, and don't be afraid of that.
Yes, amen. We are happy to stay close to you. And then there are the brethren, which we want to thank them because their regular donations, their tithe, it's a real blessing for us to be able to continue and function here. So we do bless you and thank you to all of you who are making possible for us to continue serving the Lord here.
Yeah, one time I asked the Lord, why didn't you give me, Lord, a few million dollars I put in the bank and live by the interest? I don't have to ask people for a donation when I preach the gospel. And the Lord showed me that that's not possible, because actually one of our jobs is to teach people not to be selfish, because they cannot take money in your coffin when you die, take nothing with you. In fact, that's where Jesus was living by donations.
Yes.
In chapter 8 of Luke, verse 2 and 3, it says that Jesus was collecting help for his needs from women. So people think that Jesus was snapping his finger and getting money. No, it wasn't like that. Jesus was passing the hat, so to speak, like widow. Why? To teach people not to be selfish, that when they die, they are to leave everything. So while we are still on time, we should share everything we have.
Amen. I remember this wonderful friends we have, the Italians, this couple, that we've been knowing them for many years, and they've been helping our mission with regular tithes. Every month they're very faithful with the tithe. But what strikes me is, okay, we've been meeting them a few times, traveling, visiting, but they live their life over there. They are part of our community. They receive all the feeding. They are growing wonderfully. And just recently, just a few days ago, they've been having a big problem because...
They found us, yes. Yeah, they found us because they said there were being some extortionists, some criminals were trying to blackmail them, money, this and that. And we prayed about it, and we got a word from the Lord, and we passed it to them, and we said, look, what do you have to do in this kind of situation? The Lord gave us a revelation. He said, when I prayed, the Lord said, let me fight this battle. So I said, Lord, how? And the Lord said, tell them to use my name and to go to these guys in my name. And when they will blaspheme my name, then I'll be able to enter in the arena. I will enter in camp and defeat them. So let them blaspheme not you, but let them blaspheme God. And so they listened to that. So they went in the name of God and Jesus, and they stood up, and they started using the name of God. And so when these people start rejecting God, I mean, God socket to them. So the court case was scheduled for, when was that?
A few days ago it was.
Yeah. I don't know, it must have been, I think it was a week or 10 days,
yes.
Something, I don't remember. And we asked them. So I found them, say, hey, the day of the court case, we prayed. We got on our knees, we prayed for it. And they answered and said, you know what? Those guys disappeared. They didn't even show up at the court trial. And the judge was wondering, what are those guys? And so the revelation the Lord told us, said, go in the name of Jesus. Jesus told me, go in my name. And so let them blaspheme. God told me, let them blaspheme me. But when they do that, then I'll be able to enter in and fight them. See, as long as we fight our battle, we fight.
Yes.
You know, it's like... David went against Goliath in the name of Jesus, in the name of God. And so Goliath blasphemed God and everything, and rejected it. And then God stepped in, and he guided the missile stone, he guided the little rinky-dinky stone, okay, to his forehead, and bang, has knocked him on the ground, unconscious, and quickly cut off his head with his very same sword. So the strength of David is that he went in the name of God, and so Goliath could only blaspheme God, either surrender or blaspheme. He didn't surrender, of course. So once he blasphemed God, God could step in and guide the stone into his head. That was a miracle. The stone would have gone maybe, I don't know, a centimeter, a couple of centimeters higher, there would have been his helmet, and nothing would have happened. You have to be exactly, I mean, a space of probably 2-3 centimeters, you know. So, you see, the brethren, always go in the name of God. Let God go. The Lord is my shield. The Lord is my rock. And so When you have a problem, brethren, with criminals, with court cases, just make sure, of course, you're not the criminal, of course. So whenever, make sure you go in the name of Jesus Christ and then let him enjoy, see him fight.
Amen.
Because see, when I have a financial problem, which is sometimes it happens because,
that's one of the tests of the missionary life.
Right, you know, it's periodical here. So the money finished periodically. When we have to buy something, a car or rent a house, it deposits. So sometimes the money is not enough. And we have a rule, we cannot make debts. If we don't have money, I guess we eat potatoes. But thank God, usually the Lord is good to us, okay? It's actually not complaining. We usually have a nice house and everything. We don't own a house, or we don't want. But what we do, we just put God to the test, all right? And say, God, am I your child? Are we your missionary? Are we your messengers? You provide. Are we working for you? You provide.
Amen.
Is this your job? You provide. Otherwise, you know what, God, I'm going to go on vacations, so to speak, okay? So at the law, and I enjoy.
But I want to say, Brother Joseph.
One time a guy came, we were broke, I think it was in Italy, and they gave us a donation of 10,000 euros.
Okay, this doesn't happen often, anyway. I want to tell you this,
yeah,
Brother
but
Joseph.
That was soon spent, by the way. I think it was a few months, it was gone.
I want to tell you that I think the Lord is blessing you because you are faithful with the donations people give you. I noticed you do save a lot. You're a very saving man. You know when to save and when to spend. And I think the Lord is blessing this faithfulness. You're not extravagant in your lifestyle. And also in your 40 years of serving the Lord, you've been faithfully paying your tithe all these years.
Yes, I think
the fact that the Lord is providing for you and your kids, I think is a consequence of your faithfulness
with the money God gives you. Today, we put the tithe aside.
Yes.
Definitely. It's like, I don't consider spending 10%. I consider receiving 90%. Understand? It's a selfish person who says, oh, I have to spend 10% to God. No, think the other way around. Oh, God gave me 90%. But if you separate it every day, you'll make it. If you wait at the end of the month or the end of the year, you don't make it. You get scared. You say, I have to defeat the devil day by day. We separate every day. Like, either we write it down or something happens. I don't know how you guys do. I'm not on finances. Thank God I'm not. And I don't want to. I don't like finances. I like witnessing and preaching the gospel. I let other people worry. Jesus had Judas in charge of finances. We have two very sweet girls. God bless them.
Amen.
So, praise God.
Amen. God bless you. So, we love you, dear brethren. And you're welcome to come even just for a visit. If you want to stay a few days to get to know us. And then you can go back if you want. Or you can just stay where you are right now if you don't want to travel yet. If you don't think it's the right time for you to travel now, you can stay where you are and start getting to know us, being part of our fellowship. Yeah. Or if you think you're not ready to come right now, you can just get to know us. Start being in contact with us, write to us, stay close to us. And then maybe you'll come in a year or in 6 months, whenever you think is the right appropriate time.
Yeah, maybe you want to mature, you want to pray about it, you want to wait for the right opportunity. It's not that if you join the fellowship now, you have to catch a plane and come. Don't get us wrong. You want to meditate. Maybe the desire will come in a few months. But in the meanwhile, we get to know each other, you know. It's like, it's the right thing. We get to know each other. And maybe after a while, we will invite you. Well, it's good to get to know each other first, you know. It's not that you join the fellowship today, you come today. It takes some time for you to think about, to meditate. And maybe after you get to know us better, maybe after a few months you have a desire, all right, let's go for a visit. And then leave it in God's hands. If you need to move over here, buy a house, rent a house, that's in God's hands. Like when you come, you look around, it takes time, you relax. There's a lot of many trees here. Go under a tree with your Bible, enjoy, and just wait for God to speak to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, dear brethren, God bless you. We love you. We close it here for today because we need to run. We have lots of things to do today. And keep in touch.
Amen. Amen, amen. In Jesus' name, the Lord bless you, protect you, and guide you in all your decisions, the things you have to do, especially the things that God wants you to do. May you be a blessing, wherever you are, to your family, a blessing to your wife, to your husband, or to your brethren. Be a blessing. Be like Jesus. Be loving. Remember, the most important lesson we are here to learn is not typing computers, is not starting business, is not making money. It's loving Jesus, loving God, loving each other, because love is what we are here to learn. In Jesus' name. And keep in touch. God bless you.